Good morning. It's a delight to be here with you. I bring you greetings from the saints in Moscow, at least a number of them. I can't speak for the others. But it's a delight to be here. I think that perhaps, I worshiped with you all maybe once, like 15 or 16 years ago. But it's a great delight to be with you here, to sing with you, to worship with you. It's wonderful, really. I love visiting other CREC churches and just seeing how much we share in common, and the songs we sing and the prayers we pray, in joining together and worshiping our God. So thank you very much, Hatch and other elders, and for inviting me to speak to you this morning. I've been preaching through the Gospel of Luke. I know there are actually a few Trinity people from Moscow here, and I decided that the reason you're here this morning is because you weren't listening closely the first time. The sermon text is from Luke chapter 5. If you would please give your attention to the reading of God's Word. It's verses 1 through 11. Now on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before you again this morning. We thank you for calling us into your presence, and we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone, but you have promised to come to us by the power of your Spirit. And so we ask for that Spirit to be here now with us. Meet us where we are. Encourage us, correct us, rebuke us, train us, befriend us. And we are bold to ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. This is really one of many, many texts in Luke that, as I've been working my way through this book, for the first time preaching through it, that I've just come away amazed at Luke. Luke is definitely just creeping up on my list of people that I want to meet one day and talk to, because he does some amazing things here, and obviously it's the Holy Spirit working through him, equipping him, making him the evangelist who writes down these words and has been preserved then through the millennia for us. But I hope that maybe one of the things that I accomplish in this message this morning is that you come away a little bit more impressed with your older brother Luke. And I hope that maybe it will make you dive in not only to Luke, but into the rest of Scripture, seeing what God has for you here. This is a wonderfully subtle story. I thought I knew this story. I sang children's ditties about becoming a fisher of men. Maybe you know the one. Now it's stuck in your head too. And I saw the flannel graphs, and I've seen the pictures in the children's story Bibles, and I sort of like, it's kind of cute. Jesus does cute things sometimes, and Luke led him. But I have to confess, after studying this text closer, I came away just amazed. I hope you do too. I think one of the ways you can think about this story is as a meditation on Christian friendship. Christian friendship. What is friendship? What is Christian friendship about? What is it like? Jesus this is the early part of Luke. Obviously, we've been slowly warming up to who Luke is. This is, you know, we've had the angel Gabriel coming and announcing him, and you've had the shepherds come and worship him. You've had him growing up. You have the temple incident where he sneaks off from his parents and ends up in the temple teaching the scribes. But chapter 4 is really the inauguration of Jesus' ministry. Chapter 4 is where he gives the first opening sermon in his hometown in Nazareth. He quotes that passage from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then you remember, he finishes reading. He sits down and says, "Today, in your midst, this scripture is being fulfilled." And then he got ran out of town. But this is him going, he begins going through the towns, through the synagogues, preaching apparently this central message. He's going through all the synagogues, preaching this message. He's healing the sick. He's casting out demons. That's how the end of chapter 4, that's how the chapter 4 ends. And then Luke picks up here rather innocuously. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he's standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. The Lake of Gennesaret is an inlet in the Sea of Galilee. It's a part of the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. The fishermen had been fishing all night. We'll hear that explicitly in a moment. But they're done with their work for the day, for the night. They're cleaning their nets. They're finishing their day of work. And Jesus gets into one of the boats, which turns out to belong to Simon, and asks him to shove off a little ways from the land so that he can keep teaching people. There's a large crowd pressing around him. You know, Luke doesn't initially tell us who the fishermen are or who the boats belong to. Jesus just sees two boats, and if you think about it, you know, what's he doing just asking to use those boats? He just walk, you know, "I'm just going to use your boat now. I need to. There's a crowd." Turns out it's Simon's. And if you've been a Christian for long, it's dangerous to read the Gospels because you don't sometimes remember where you are in the story. You just sort of assume that it's always, you know, all the events are sort of omnipresent, always in your mind. And so you don't recognize, you're like, "Oh yeah, Simon." Well, of course, you know Simon. Like one of the famous disciples, Simon. But this is actually only the second time he's been mentioned in the gospel so far. We've only actually just met him in this previous chapter. It was actually in Simon's house that he went after he had healed somebody in Capernaum. So chapter 4, verse 38 says, "He arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house." And you might remember Simon's mother-in-law had a fever and was sick, and he rebukes the fever and heals her. She rises and begins to serve them. And then as the sun goes down, there's all these people who are sick with various diseases, and demons are gathering around Simon's house. And he's healing them and casting out demons. So we know that he's met Simon before. But this sort of makes it, again, sort of peculiar the way that Luke introduces this. There's just these two random boats, apparently. And he gets into one and says, "Can you shove off?" And, "Oh, it's Simon's." Okay. Well, we know, like, okay. I mean, in the previous chapter, it didn't say, "And he went into a house." And that, you know, it's he's doing something here. The Gospel of John actually suggests that Jesus met Simon the day after his baptism. If you go back later today and read John chapter 1, at least if John is doing anything remotely chronological there, which is perhaps a decent question to ask, but if so, it appears that Jesus probably met Simon right after his baptism. So perhaps even before he visits his house, it seems likely that they've developed some kind of friendship by this time. Jesus is staying at Simon's house. He probably met him shortly after his baptism. Nevertheless, it could still seem a bit impertinent for Jesus to interrupt his work and to invite himself to teach from his boat. It's at least an inconvenience, right? He's in the middle of cleaning the nets. He's finishing up for the day, and he says, yeah, can you just take it out again? All right. You know, Simon's probably getting used to this guy a little bit. But Jesus goes even further, doesn't he? Not only does he have the audacity to ask him to use his boat, interrupt his daily duties, his finishing up his work for the day, but he goes even further and he asks this experienced fisherman to go out into the deep and let their nets down. Of course, Simon explains, we just did. Right? We toiled all night. Simon doesn't just say we were out all night. He says we worked hard all night. So not only is it an inconvenience, but it could be a potential insult. You know, I mean, you have things that you're good at. Things that you labor hard at, you've gone to school for, you've trained for, people respect you for, you got plaques on the walls for. And Jesus says, let me give you a hand with that. Right? I mean, you know, that's the implication could very well be you didn't do it right. Simon explains they toiled, they worked hard all night, caught nothing. But he says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. You know the story, of course. They go out, they do what Jesus asks, and the net is filled with a large, enormous crowd of fish, to the point their net is breaking. And so they call their partners, their still nameless partners, on the shore. They come in the other boat for help. They come and scramble to fill both boats, and they're now filled to the point of sinking, Luke says. Just imagine the scramble. They're hauling these things in as quick as they can. It's a mess. And now the boats are starting to sink. The thing that, the final cue, the final thing that ought to make you realize that this really isn't about the fish or the boats is the fact that right there, at the climax of the story, with the boats about to sink, Luke zooms in his camera on Simon. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What about the boats? What about all the fish? What about the boats? What's he doing? Kneeling down when the boats are about to sink. It's not about the fish. It's not about the boats. Simon is interpreting what's going on for us. Simon is telling us what this is all about. Simon suddenly realizes that this whole scene was not about boats or fish. And some other clues in the passage, it says that he was astonished. If you've been reading through Luke, you know that so far that's been one of the common responses to Jesus. Jesus rebukes demons and they flee and people are astonished. Jesus heals the sick and people are astonished. Now it's Simon's turn to be astonished. And then also one of the other running themes through the Gospel of Luke has been the demons in particular calling out and identifying Jesus as the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God. The demons are the ones saying, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And now it's Simon's turn to be amazed and to fall down on his knees and say, get away from me. I am a sinful man. He knows that he's in the presence of the Holy One of God. He's suddenly painfully self-aware of the kind of person he really is. So what Luke wants us to see and what Simon suddenly realizes in that moment is that Jesus was not interested in the boats. He was not interested in the fish. He was interested in Simon. Jesus is the expert fisherman. But when Jesus said he needed Simon's boat, he was actually going fishing for Simon. Jesus interrupted and imposed on Simon, threatened even, you know, the potential of their friendship, was willing to risk being misunderstood as being even rude to get Simon. And Jesus got his fish. Simon's response is no ordinary response to another human being. Right, I mean, I don't remember saying that to another human being in my life. Depart from me, I'm a sinful human being, I'm a sinful man. But it very closely echoes what many of the prophets in the Old Testament will say in the presence of God. Remember, Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up and says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. What am I doing here? Ezekiel says something very similar when he sees a vision of God. Woe is me. Get away from me. Simon's response also matches how we frequently feel when our own sin is exposed or maybe on the verge of being exposed. Get away. Leave me alone. Simon sees all the fish. He says, this is not a normal human being. This is not just some special rabbi. This is the Holy God. And finally here, we find out who the friends are. Right? Verse 10, and so also James and John, they were also astonished. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were the partners with Simon, suddenly out they show up. They got caught too. It's actually easy to miss the fact that right at the moment that Simon falls at the knees of Jesus, Luke gives Simon the name Peter. Did you catch that? But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. All the other gospels, you know, they have those, the conversation between Simon and Jesus, and there's this sort of special naming ceremony, right? All the other gospels have that. You know, who do they say that I am? I'm the Christ, and now your name will no longer be Simon; it will be Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and against the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And those sorts of conversations, parallels like that. And Luke doesn't do that. This is where Simon becomes Peter in Luke's gospel. You know, Luke is also the author of the book of Acts. And the first half of the book of Acts is all about Peter. And then midway through the book, it switches off to Paul. And so tradition has it that Luke was a disciple of Peter and then Paul. So Luke writes his gospel in the book of Acts under the direct supervision of the apostles Peter and Paul. It's very likely that Peter narrates this story to Luke. And Luke's version of Simon becoming Peter doesn't have to at all be at odds or in tension with the other conversations where Jesus explicitly says, your name will now be Peter. We're going to go with Peter. You can imagine Peter looking back on this story and saying, he wanted to borrow my boat. It was a big crowd. And then he wanted me to go out, and I didn't want to go out because we were cleaning the nets. And we get out there, and we start hauling the fish in. And he said, and suddenly I realized this was not about the boats. It was not about the fish. He was after me. And that's when I became a new man. That's when I became Peter. Notice that Jesus reassures Simon. He says, do not be afraid. That's his forgiveness, right? It's okay. Jesus doesn't say, you've got it all wrong, I'm not God. Jesus doesn't say, you've got it all wrong, you're not that bad. No, Jesus leans into it. Yes, you're a sinful man. I'm the Holy One of Israel. You don't need to be afraid. That's a glorious absolution right there, isn't it? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But then he also reassigns him. Not only forgives him, but he gives him assignment. He gives him a new vocation. But you know, if you're reading carefully, you suddenly realize that the vocation that Jesus gives Peter is not so cutesy after all. I mean, fishers of men just sort of, I don't know, can seem a little bit cutesy. And then you suddenly realize, but that's what Jesus just did. Right? Jesus isn't calling Simon to do anything different than what Jesus has just done. Jesus is a fisher of men. He says, do not be afraid. From now on, you're going to do what I do. You're going to do what I've just done. You're going to go impose on people. You're going to go befriend people. You're going to go interrupt people. And you're going to catch them just like I just caught you. You know, literally, Jesus actually uses a play on words in this story. It's used a couple of times. There's a word for catch, a catch of fish. In verse 4, Jesus says, go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And then when they let them down, they have this enormous catch. And then Jesus says this, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Literally, the word is, from now on, you will catch men alive. You will catch the living. Because usually, you know, when you haul fish in, they die. Right? But Jesus says it's just like it's inverted. It's like you've got a sea full of dead fish, and you're going to start hauling them in, so that they can begin to live. Just like I did just now with you. Jesus caught Simon, gave him a new name and a calling, and now Simon will go and do the same. I love this story. It's there's so much more there than I ever thought. Luke reminds us that Jesus has come to come to catch us, to interrupt us, to impose himself into our lives. He's come to commandeer us. He's come to catch us. It's so easy to go along thinking that, you know, you grow up in a Christian church maybe, or you grow up in a Christian family and you think that God is mostly there to sort of give you kudos and maybe cheer you up when you've had a sort of down day. But that's not what this story gives us at all. He's come to interrupt you. You thought you knew what you were going to do today. And Jesus has other plans for you. He's come to impose his plan on us. He gives us new names. He gives us new assignments. And this is really good news because he is God. And he knows us. He knows what we're for. He made us. He knows what we need so that we can trust him. So that we are free to leave everything behind for him. We are free to leave everything behind for him because he came here and laid everything down for us. Just think about this for a moment. Jesus came and asked Simon to use his boat and asked if he could go fishing. It's easy to think, you know, if Jesus came and asked me to, you know, become a missionary, I would do that. You know, if Jesus, you know, came and asked me to do something really, you know, kind of cool and holy, I would do that. But Jesus comes and asks Simon to use his boat. And it's kind of annoying. What's Jesus asking you to do? Are you kind of fussing? Are you kind of complaining? Are you kind of whining? Are you kind of feeling down? You're like, you know, Jesus, you know, I'm just waiting around. I'd like to do something awesome for you and for your kingdom. And Jesus is like, change that diaper. You're like, no, I meant something awesome. Take out the trash. Have that person over for dinner. I don't like that person. Have them over. No, I said I wanted to do something cool. He says, go back to work. But I just did. I was toiling all day. Jesus says, go back to work. There's fish there for you to catch. It's easy to miss the ways that Jesus is interrupting you. He is imposing on you. He is insisting that he is going to call you. He's going to use you. And you're looking the other way. So what's Jesus calling you to? How is Jesus interrupting you? What are the things right in front of you, maybe, where Jesus is saying, I want to go out in your boat with you? Don't miss that. I think this story also gives us a cool, just a picture of not only God's, the kind of friend that God is. We sing that wonderful hymn, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. He comes to us. And when you know him and when you recognize who God is, who Christ is, you know you're fallen. You know you're a sinner. You know that you need to get away. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. Jesus says, it's okay. Jesus suffered, bled, and died, and rose again to make you right, to make you clean. But Jesus also comes with plans for your life. He's that kind of friend. He doesn't just come and say, yeah, clean, see ya. Forgiven, see ya. He comes to commandeer your life. He comes to befriend you. He comes to walk alongside you. But he also comes to make you who you were meant to be. To make you what he intended you to be. And this is a model for the way that we need to be friends with one another. What kind of friend are you? Basically, you have two opposite extremes, right? Either you're the friend, the distant friend, just smile and wave at everybody, right? Like on Facebook, right? Yeah, just smile and wave. You're just sort of distant and happy. Like the parade. Or maybe the opposite extreme, you know, the distant, the ditches we have is to be the distant happy friend, the distant sort of don't get involved friend because it might get complicated friend. So you stay back, smile, wave, don't get involved, or you're the overly meddlesome friend. You've got plans for everybody's lives, and you're pretty sure that no one's doing it right. And you've got suggestions for everybody. But in both ways, you're failing to be Jesus. In both ways, you're failing to love like Jesus. You can't be that distant, you can't be a distant, happy friend and actually love people, actually care about people. You've got to get in the dirt. You got to get in the mess. You got to lean in. And you also got to realize that you aren't the Holy Spirit. You can't actually get into someone's heart. You can't actually fix them. And that's a challenging place to be. Sometimes you need to repent of your distance. Sometimes you need to repent of your meddling. But I think this is a good place to go and say, what kind of friend is Jesus? Well, he takes people out for rides. He says, let's go get coffee. Let's go get lunch. He's involved. He leans in. He loves. He cares. He imagines what people might be. That's what love is, right? You look at someone and you say, I know what God made you, and I believe in what God intends for you. And I'm going to keep loving you, and I'm going to keep telling you the truth, and I'm going to keep correcting you. I'm going to keep encouraging you. I'm going to keep cheering you on until you can become who God has made you to be. Jesus comes fishing for us. He came fishing for Simon. He came and caught Simon and sent Simon. Simon left everything and followed him. When you come into the presence of Jesus, it makes you fall to your knees. You realize you're a sinner. You realize you need him. You realize he's been hunting for you. He's been fishing for you. And then he says, don't be afraid. Go. I want you to go. I want you to befriend those around you. I want you to go and impose on others. And Jesus says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And I will be with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we praise you and we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus. Father, I thank you that Jesus asked to use Simon's boat that day. I thank you that he asked to be taken out into the deep. I thank you for that insane catch of fish. And I thank you that you caught Simon. Father, I thank you that you've made us, this church, and your body, a great ark, a great boat, and you have hauled us in alive. Father, I ask that you would encourage these saints here, that you would remind them of your love and your grace and your friendship. I pray that you would remind them of your forgiveness and your cleansing. And Father, I pray that you would remind them that you have called them to now go and catch men alive. Father, we thank you for the grace of your Spirit that empowers us to do this. And we give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen.